ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। यदा विनियतं चित्तं आत्मन्येवावतिष्ठते निस्पृहः सर्वकामेभ्यो युक्त इत्युच्यते तदा। When the yogi, by practice of yoga, disciplines his mental activities and becomes situated in transcendence, devoid of all material desires, he is said to be well established in yoga. Purport: the activities of the yogi are distinguished from those of an ordinary person by his characteristic cessation from all kinds of material desires, of which sex is the chief. A perfect yogi is so well disciplined in the activities of the mind that he can no longer be disturbed by any kind of material desire. This perfectional stage can automatically be attained by persons in Krishna consciousness, as stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Savayamana Krishna Padaravindayor Vachaansi Vaikunta Gunar Nuvarnane Karo Hare Mandira Marjana Dishu Shooting Chakara Chuta Satkato Daye Mukundalingalaya Darshane Drisho Tad Bhritya Gatra Sparshinga Sangamam Granam Chatat Pada Saroja Saurabhe Srimat Tulasya Rasanang Tadarpite Pado Hare Kshetra Padanu Sarpane Shiro Hrishikesha Padab Vibandane Kamam Chadasit Natu Kama Kamyaya Yato Tamashloka Janashraya Ratihi. King Ambarish, first of all, engaged his mind on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Then one after another, he engaged his words in describing the transcendental qualities of the Lord, his hands in mopping the temple of the Lord, his ears in hearing of the activities of the Lord, his eyes in seeing the transcendental forms of the Lord, his body in touching the bodies of the devotees, his sense of smell in smelling the scents of the lotus flowers offered to the Lord, his tongue in tasting the tulsi leaf offered at the lotus feet of the Lord, his legs in going to places of pilgrimage and the temple of the Lord, his head in offering obeisances unto the Lord, and his desires in executing the mission of the Lord. All these transcendental activities are quite befitting a pure devotee. End of quote. This transcendental stage may be inexpressible subjectively by the followers of the impersonalist path, but it becomes very easy and practical for a person in Krishna consciousness, as is apparent in the above description of the engagements of Maharaj Ambarish. Unless the mind is fixed on the lotus feet of the Lord by constant remembrance, such transcendental engagements are not practical. In the devotional service of the Lord, therefore, these prescribed activities are called archan, or engaging all the senses in the service of the Lord. The senses and the mind require engagements. Simple abnegation is not practical. Therefore, for people in general, especially those who are not in the renounced order of life, transcendental engagement of the senses and the mind, as described above, is the perfect process for transcendental achievement, which is called yukta in the Bhagavad Gita. Free from all material desires. Well, we read about that a lot in Srila Prabhupada's books. He often speaks about being free from all material desires. For instance, we've often heard it said by Srila Prabhupada that unless one is completely free from all material desires, he cannot enter into the spiritual world. And we may be wondering if such a stage is possible for us to attain. It may seem like a very long way off. What's easier, to walk to China or to get free from material desires? Well, you have to take a boat at some point, but if you think of anything difficult materially, and there was an advertisement in the airport I saw about climbing Everest blind. I don't know what the advertisement exactly is all about. I didn't bother to check it out. But there was something. Someone did that? Climbed Everest blind?
Yeah, yes. Some woman.
That's quite an achievement, isn't it? But that seems easier than getting free from material desires. That's quite a big material desire to climb Mount Everest in the first place. The idea of conquering. I shall conquer. The mountain looks impossible, but we shall conquer by our physical strength and intelligence. Although Everest is the highest mountain I've heard, it's not the most difficult one. There are more difficult mountains to climb up. So that's a certain kind of sport. There's a sense of achievement that I did something, I conquered over something. But conquering over the senses seems to be more difficult. It's relatively easy to climb a mountain, but it seems to be more difficult to conquer over the senses. So, what shall we do? Because we're trying to be Krishna conscious, we want to go to Krishna and serve Him in the spiritual world. There's just this little problem which is called Kam Krodha Lobha Moha Mada Matsarya. Material desire from which expands anger, greed, envy, illusion, madness seems very difficult to overcome. Well, Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, quotes the behavior of Ambarish Maharaj, who's famous as a great pure devotee. Now, what did Ambarish Maharaj do to become a great pure? He was such a great pure devotee that even the great yogi Durvasa Muni, who was supposed to have conquered his senses and had actually, to a large extent, to the extent that he had tremendous mystic power, he, as was later seen, he was able to, Durvasa Muni, by his mystic power, was able to enter the Vaikuntha planet that's manifest in this material universe. So he was a very great yogi, no doubt, but he hadn't conquered over anger, as was seen. He unnecessarily, and it seems that there was some anger and envy. So although he'd superficially conquered his senses, he wasn't actually purified. And when he attempted to curse and attack Ambarish Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj was personally protected by Lord Krishna's Sudarshan weapon. So what did Ambarish Maharaj do to become so dear to Krishna that he was directly protected by Krishna's personal weapon? What was his great devotional achievement? What did Prahlad Maharaj do? I mean, he preached, all right, that's all right, but basically he was just going to school with his school friends and he preached them a little bit, but mostly he just remembered the Lord. Well, just remembering the Lord isn't such a small thing. It's a very great thing. There is an incident described in Brihannaradiya Purana of Markandeya Rishi, who is famous for having a very long life. So there was one Dharma Sabha, or a meeting of great saintly persons, and he was elected the chairman and given the prominent seat. There are many saintly persons present. And Markandeya Rishi was 7 kalpas old. I mean, that's older than, quite, you know, older than Lord Brahma. He lives more. He when the dissolution of the universe is there, he goes on living. So it's an extraordinary long life. And in walks Parashara Muni, who at that time was 7 years old. And Markandeya Rishi got down from his elevated seat and offered obeisances in public to this little boy. And everyone was shocked because a little boy should offer obeisances to an elderly person. But then Markandeya Rishi explained that only, even though he's only 7 years old, he's remembered Krishna more than all of us put together here. So he is most respectable. Therefore we should offer obeisances to him. And he, Parashara, later compiled the Vishnu Purana and is the father of the present Vyasadeva. So he's a very great personality. So the point that Prahlad Maharaj, what did he do? He remembered Krishna. What did Ambarish Maharaj do? What did Prahlad Maharaj do that he became such a great devotee that the Supreme Lord personally came? Here's the picture of ripping Hiranyakashipu to pieces. Favorite pastime. Devotees are very fond of remembering this. How the Lord protects his devotees. He protected Ambarish Maharaj, who did what? Ambarish Maharaj fixed his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. He spoke about the qualities of Krishna, the transcendental qualities, he described them, of Krishna. He used his hands for cleaning the floor of the temple of Krishna. He liked to hear about Krishna. Just like you have all come here this evening to hear something about Krishna. He liked to see the form of Krishna in the temple. And he would embrace the bodies of the devotees. He would smell the lotus flower offered to Krishna. You won't get lotuses here in Denver. I don't think they grow here, is it? But roses you must be getting. In Detroit, I just came from Detroit, they have a beautiful rose garden. Very sweet roses are offered to Radha Kunja Bihari. And Ambarish Maharaj liked to taste the tulsi offered to Krishna. And we also like to taste different varieties of prasad. Chaturvidha Sri Bhagavat Prasada. Swadvanna Chittan Hari Bhakta Sangham. Kridvaiva Chittin Bhajata Sadai. Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. Krishna eats all varieties of food, and the devotees, they also enjoy taking prasada. So he used his legs for going to the temple of the Lord, his head for bowing down at the lotus feet and offering prayers to Lord Krishna. He dovetailed all his desires in the service of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada translates this as his desires. He engaged his desires in executing the mission of the Lord. And in this way, his activities were certainly befitting of pure devotees. So what did he do? He did the same activities that all the Vaishnava Acharyas and Srila Prabhupada have instructed us to do and given us the opportunity to do. Cleaning the floor in the temple of Krishna is not an ordinary thing. We may think, no. Once a time, and it's a wonderful opportunity to clean the temple. Srila Prabhupada said, cleaning the temple is cleaning the heart. To see the deities of the Lord is not an ordinary thing. We have the opportunity every day. And the tendency is that whatever we do, we tend to think, well, we don't take it very seriously. We have the opportunity to chant the holy names of the Lord. Every name, this Rupa Goswami, he says he is relishing the chanting of the holy name so much that he thinks, I would like thousands of pairs of ears and thousands of tongues so I could chant and relish this holy name. So these may seem like very ordinary activities, but these are activities of the spiritual world. These are activities which make us very dear to Krishna. But particularly the first point is there, that the mind should be offered at the lotus feet of Krishna. We should do it remembering Krishna, that I'm doing this for Krishna. Now how will we remember that we're doing it for Krishna? Then we have to hear about Krishna. You've come here to hear about Krishna. And we're talking what might seem very ordinary things, cleaning the floor for Krishna. But it's not an ordinary thing. If it's actually done with a spirit of service to Krishna, then we see that Ambarish Maharaj, he became so dear to Krishna. He became such an advanced devotee that he wasn't even in the slightest bit disturbed by the curse of Durvasa Muni. So the point that Srila Prabhupada is making here is that this stage of desire, freedom from material desires, it is attainable by the simple process of bhakti yoga. Often devotees ask questions like this, how can we get taste for the holy name? How can we be free from material desires? And so on and so on. But the answer in all cases is just follow the simple process that Srila Prabhupada has given us, and purification will be there. But we have to, how do we have to follow? Please don't put the Bhagavad Gita down.
It's on the carpet.
But you're putting your foot there, isn't it? So it's the same as putting it on the floor. So, this process, how is that to be executed? That akarma sarva kamava, moksha kama udharati, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. The intensity has to be there. Whether one is full of material desires, free from all desires, or desiring liberation, one should serve Krishna with intensity. Now, you may ask, well, how intense? How hard can you sweep the floor? You want to sweep the floor so hard that the brush gets dissolved or the floor becomes worn away? Of course, this tivrena bhakti yogena, it doesn't mean in the mode of passion, but it means with intense desire to please Krishna. That intense desire to please Krishna, that is tivra bhakti yoga. This word tivra means focused, intense. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of the magnifying glass. At the present time, in the present season, the sun is very hot. Indeed, it's been quite hot here in Detroit. It was much hotter, I think over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. It was hot. People were suffering, not used to it. But that heat, that's hot enough. But if you take a magnifying glass, it becomes so, that intensity of heat becomes so hot that if you concentrate that on a piece of paper, it will burn. If you put it on your skin will become burned, literally. I mean, it'll just like it'll become what's called, I mean, it won't come on fire, but what we call burned. So that intensity. Now, that intensity that comes from always hearing about Krishna and always remembering, what are we here for? What are we doing? Because it is possible to become mechanical in our devotional service, because we do the same thing every day, more or less. I mean, some devotees are very adventurous. Like Indrajumna Swami is very adventurous. Tribhuvanath Prabhu was very adventurous. But the general process given for everyone, especially for householders, because householders can't run all over the world like sannyasis do. They have a regulated life. That's in the mode of goodness, to have a regulated life. But unless we are very much aware of what we are doing and why we are doing it, then the tendency may become just to do it as a matter of routine. And practically we've seen that. I've been living in India for many years and visited many temples, and now in America there are many Hindu temples also. And what to speak of temples, there are churches. But in many religious places, things seem to go on in a kind of mechanical way. The priests are in the temple, and they do the same thing all day, every day. If you go to a temple, there are so many temples. Near to Guntur, where you're from, there's the Mangalagiri, Pana Nrisimha temple, where the same thing every day. Again and again, they're offering to Nrisimha Dev this drink, which is called Panakam. And it's very good for the hot weather, very cooling. You could make, if you're feeling the heat, you make some ginger and some jaggery, which is called, what's that, gur or molasses. And that's all, right? And cold water. Anything else? Elaichi?
Black pepper.
Elaichi they put also. Elaichi means cardamom. So it's very pleasing to Lord Nrisimhadev, and very cooling, and very tasty also. Very good for the hot weather, just came to mind. So they're offering all day, every day. People will come, and the standard offering to make is this, the same drink, all day, every day, they're doing. Now, that requires a lot of dedication, doesn't it, to do the same thing every day, all day. It's not such an easy thing to be a pujari. I remember when early I joined the movement, one devotee, he was offering like 5 or 6 aartis every day. So he was telling me that it gets difficult to do. Sometimes the mind wanders. You know, you're doing this, but the mind is going here, there. So he told me, I made a habit of reading Krishna books. Read Krishna book a lot, so that I can remember this is Krishna, the same Krishna who's swinging on the swing, with the same Radha and Krishna who are swinging on the swing, or the same Krishna who is dancing on the head of Kaliya. You can remember the same Krishna who's killing Kamsa and showing the universal form. So remembering the pastimes of Krishna. Otherwise, without remembering the pastimes of Krishna, then the tendency is to remember how in the past we passed our time with our own pastimes, which are not very transcendental. And thinking of that, we won't really get the result of offering arati to the Lord. So, it's possible to be engaged in the service of the Lord and be in mundane consciousness. And we won't get the same result. We see that many temples, even beautiful temples, big temples in India are run down. And there may be various socio-economic reasons for that, that the Brahmins, they don't get enough income to support their families, and therefore they have to become software engineers in America. There was actually one young man who I saw in Sri Ranga, the place of the main temple of the what we call the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, Ramanuja Sampradaya. So even though he was young, he was called at the festivals to recite the prayers, the Divya Prabandhams, to the Lord. And we were there at one festival. He was offering with such devotion, so nice. And the next thing I heard, he was a software engineer in Bangalore and then in America, because, you know, his father is old and what to do? There's the rascal demon governments, they've taken over the temples and they loot all the money. And the Brahmins who want to worship the Lord, they're not able. They have, of course, some are there, but some have to go away just out of economic necessity. So there may be very, for whatever reasons, in many temples the standards have gone down. In Kanchipuram, I saw they have so many temples, a town of so many temples. But in many places, there's one pujari for seven temples. And there should be at least seven pujaris for one temple. But they'll go around in the morning on their bicycle. They can't afford anything else. And they'll offer puja in one place, then another, then another, then another. And you have to be there at the right time to get darshan. Otherwise, it's locked up all day. And these are important temples. They're ancient temples. So this is the sad condition it's come to. Why, again, there may be various reasons, but the spirit of bhakti that was there when the temples were founded, that the spirit was that was there in society, that people thought, that the whole society, people would come to the temples, they would contribute, and in this way, the temples were going on, and the brahmanas, they would not simply perform rituals, but at least some of them would, they would explain the shastra to others and give spiritual guidance. But when it just became ritual, there may be very many reasons, but like I said, socio-economic reasons, or if the brahmins were simply thinking how to get money from the people without spiritually benefiting them. Whatever the reason, there may be complex reasons. By the influence of Kali Yuga, the spirit that was there before was lost. And therefore, even though there's still the beautiful temples are there, but the worship is not going on in the same way or with the same spirit as previously. In the far south of India, there's the Navatirupati, the nine temples, which are considered, they're called Navatirupati, nine Tirupatis. So they were very much run down until recently, when the last few years, one big industrialist, a very famous in South India, T.V.S. Iyengar, who's from an Iyengar family, the family of those who used to be engaged in deity worship in the temples. So anyway, he became a big industrialist and he renovated all these temples and he made facilities for brahmanas to worship there and houses for them. So the worship is going on again. But that's nice that he did that. But unfortunately, the old spirit seems to be not there, because I saw one young Brahmin is there who was doing the worship. But instead of having the customary shika, he had a modern hairstyle. And then at his house, you could see the big dish antenna for the TV. So he'd come and do the worship and then go back and watch TV. So anyway, somehow or other, the worship is going on again. It was not going on, but now it's going on, but the same spirit is not there. Because instead of taking pleasure in hearing and chanting about the Lord, they're taking pleasure. They're doing the worship as a job, but taking pleasure in the TV, what's on TV. And I'm not saying this to blame anyone, I'm just simply noting that it is possible to perform devotional service in a way in which the mind is not really there. It becomes a ritual or something like this. And also in our ISKCON, we're seeing that some temples which were founded a relatively short time ago, they're struggling to go on. So the point, the first point here, Sabai Manah Krishna Padaravindayo. The mind, if the mind is placed at the lotus feet of Krishna, then Kamang Tadasyena Tu Kama Kamyaya, then one's desires will be dovetailed with those of Krishna. So the desire has to be there to serve Krishna. Ambarish Maharaj didn't have to worship the Lord. Of course, everyone has to worship the Lord, but he wasn't being paid to do so. Or he could have not done so. Or he could have done so in a relatively, just a little bit. And then as a king, he could have, you know, spent his time hunting or playing polo or something like that. Polo is a relatively recent sport, but like that. He could have spent his time in sporting activities. He could have been basically a materialist who did a little bhakti also. But he was a pure devotee of Krishna. And it appears that he was less interested in his activities of governing the state than he was in serving the Lord. Another example of that in recent, relatively recent times is the Maharaj Jai Singh of Jaipur, who made the deity of Govinda, Radha Govinda. He consecrated his kingdom in the service of the Lord and made a beautiful temple, which to this day is the heart and soul of the people of Jaipur. There's so many people come, especially during Kartik. The temple will be big open space in front of the Lord, and so many people will come. So even though they're performing their activities, whatever they may be doing, Krishna is the center of their lives. So this is the point, that the mind has to be placed at the lotus feet of Krishna. That means the determination. We are doing everything, we are doing this for Krishna. That spirit, if that spirit is there, then everything becomes joyful, everything becomes blissful. Just like we hear that Krishna in Vrindavan, he's running in the fields as they're out playing. Playing means they're taking the cows out, but for them it's play at the same time. And the young boys are having a sport. Who will touch Krishna first? And they'll have a race. Like little boys, they like to play and race. But their race is, who can reach Krishna first? Who will touch Krishna first? So their activities are fully Krishna conscious, always eager how to serve Krishna. So this spirit of how we shall always be eager to serve Krishna, that can be cultivated in the association of pure devotees. Hare Krishna. See, he's crying because he came to the temple but he can't get darshan. Where is Krishna? He's crying out of separation. But Prabhupada is here. You can see Prabhupada. Where is Krishna? Prabhupada has got Krishna. So this spirit of how shall we find Krishna, this spirit always has to be kept very much alive. Then we shall be eager to serve Krishna. So we're very fortunate that Prabhupada has given us this process. We can't measure how fortunate we are. Aho bhagyam, nanda, what is that? Nanda rajokasam, yan mitram paramanandam, purnam brahma sanatanam. Sukadev Goswami describes, aho bhagya, how lucky. Nanda gopa rajokasam, Nanda Maharaj and all the residents of Vrindavan, because their well-wisher and constant companion is the Supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And what the acharyas have done, Srila Prabhupada is the representative of the acharyas in the modern age, he has given us the same opportunity as Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. What are Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda doing? They're cooking for Krishna, they're cleaning for Krishna, they're always fully engaged in Krishna's service. And they're seeing the beauty of Krishna, thinking how we can dress Krishna very nicely, perform various festivals for the pleasure of Krishna. So the acharyas, they give us the opportunity to serve Krishna in the same way that the Vrajvasis serve Krishna, the Vaikunthavasis, they serve Krishna. Same activities. Krishna is getting up very early in the morning and immediately he's hungry, so feed him. So what shall we feed him? Early morning, nice milk products. That's the first thing Krishna takes. So we're thinking how to make nice sweets for Krishna. Krishna's always hungry. He's a young boy. He works hard. And unknown to his mother, not only is he running around all day, but he's running around all night too. His mother thinks he's sleeping peacefully, but he jumps out the window and goes off in the forest again. So he's very busy enjoying his pastimes, so he gets very hungry. We know this song, the Shukta Shakadi Bhaji Nalita Kushmanda Dali Dalna Dugda Tumbi Dadhi Mocha Kanda. There's a big feast. That's his breakfast. We usually sing this at midday at the Raj Bhog Arati, but actually he's taking, at the midday he's out in the forest. He eats his tiffin at midday that he takes out with him. Or sometimes Yashoda Mai and Rohini Devi, they come out and bring him something to eat. So that's actually his breakfast. Radhikara Paka Anna Bibidha Banja. Radharani's cooking. So that's his breakfast. Now, if we had a breakfast like that, we wouldn't be running around in the fields, we'd be flat out. But he's got a good appetite and good digestion. So Prabhupada has given us the opportunity to cook nice breakfast for Krishna, all different varieties. If we only eat Mahaprasad, we may think, "Wow, I'd really like to eat like that." When we hear the description of what Krishna eats, we think, "Wow, I'd really like to eat like that." We might think that we shall become the enjoyer. It's called Bhoga Arati. But that's Krishna's bhog. If we eat like that, we'll become sick. I remember it must have been 1977, our temple in London, Berry Place, that was famous for Radha Landanishwara, beautiful darshan and wonderful prasad. So what happened was, there were 60 devotees living there and it wasn't even zoned as a residential building. So eventually the local council said, "Get out! You can't do this anymore. You don't have permission, you're not allowed." So they allowed us to keep a skeleton crew, just a minimum crew of devotees while we were locating another place. So we had about 6 or 7 devotees in the temple, and the same offerings, big offerings of Mahaprasad were going on to Radha Landanishwara. So we didn't have anything else to eat except Mahaprasad. So every day we had lots of puris, lots of rich sweets, vegetables, you know, sabjis floating in ghee, And after 2 or 3 days, the devotees were just sort of, is there any simple khichdi? We don't have digestions like that. Krishna can digest. In Jagannath Puri, we find that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was invited to take lunch by Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya, who cooked so many preparations. And he also bought from the Jagannath temple so many preparations. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, look, I'm just a sannyasi. What are you doing giving me all this? How can I digest it? And Sarvabhauma said, don't try and cheat me telling me that you're just a simple sannyasi. Every day, as Lord Jagannath, you're eating the chapan bhog, 54 items. And then again, in all the temples you're eating, Mother Yashoda is cooking for you. Then again in Dwaraka, you're in 16,108 homes. You have 16,108 queens cooking for you. So this is only a little snack for you. What are you saying it's too much for you to eat? Don't try and cheat me. So he can eat. We can't eat like that. But we can have the pleasure of cooking for the Lord. What nice things he likes to eat. In my earlier days in Krishna consciousness, I was fortunate enough to be allowed to join this movement at a relatively early age, after wasting countless lives in this material world. Somehow or other, I wandered into a temple one day and they let me stay. So, like pretty much all the devotees, I was a prasad addict. And I like to eat lots of very tasty prasad. And I was thinking, well, actually this isn't very good, because I shouldn't be thinking about how to eat nice food. I should be thinking how to feed Krishna nice food. So for some time I took up the service of cooking for Krishna. And it's actually very purifying, because instead of thinking what nice things will I eat, the same propensity thinking about nice food, we're thinking what Krishna will eat. And we'll meet with the different cooks. What are you going to cook him? All right, I won't cook exactly the same thing. We'd always try to cook different preparations for the Lord, and every day have some varieties, nice preparations. So it's very purifying, because instead, and then even after it's cooked, you don't want to start, filling up your, and how nice. The cook wants to be free from the mentality that I'm going to taste this afterwards, and then you'll just taste a little to see how it came out for Krishna, instead of thinking, okay, I cooked it and now I'm going to enjoy it. But you don't, when we're cooking for Krishna, then we have to cultivate a different mood. Otherwise, instead of serving the Lord, it becomes an aparad. So when we're cooking for the Lord, we have to cultivate this mentality that how we're cooking this only for His pleasure. And even if we have to be free of the mentality that after it's offered to the Lord, I will enjoy it. We can't think like that. So it's very purifying to cook for the Lord. And this idea, how we shall offer Him all different items and different seasons. So in the hot season, we have to give Him very light clothes. And in the cold season, we have to give Him very heathy clothes. If you go to Nathdwara, that's Rajasthan, extreme climate. So in the winter, it's very cold. Maybe not as, I don't think they have snow. It doesn't go below zero, but it gets down there pretty much. And they don't have heating systems like they have in the West. So it's very cold. So they'll dress the Lord in such clothing that you'll just see His eyes and His nose and His mouth. And otherwise He's completely covered. And in the summer, when it's very hot, extremely hot, Rajasthan is extremely hot. One summer I was in Vrindavan. Mostly devotees they don't stay in Vrindavan. At least our ISKCON devotees, they mostly go away in the summer because it's too hot. It's very hot. So I saw in the newspaper that in the desert in Rajasthan, the Indian Army, some said, they'd measured a temperature of 62 Celsius. What's that in Fahrenheit? Can anyone say? Whatever it is, it's unimaginable. I mean, it was over 50 every day in the summer in Vrindavan there, and it was like you want to take your skin off because you can't sleep even at night. It's just too hot. But 62, that must be like 140 or something Fahrenheit. Whatever it is, you don't even want to think about it. So it gets so hot. So in the heat of the summer, they'll dress him just in shorts. I don't recommend that devotees should come to the temple in shorts, because we should, you know, don't mind me saying, but we should be a little, you know, what's the word, maryada. There should be a little formality when we come to the temple, not very informal. But for the Lord, just some shorts. And then, one time I went there, and they were having the water, salil viha, which means water pastimes. So they take the utsav murti, the festival deity, and there's one big room, and they're just spraying him constantly with hand sprays of scented colored water. And then they're spraying everyone, I mean, in the water, and if you go, everyone else gets wet also. You get completely wet, which is a relief because it's so damn hot outside. So it's a pleasure for the Lord to be squirted with water like this. So the Lord should be served in different seasons, and the different kinds of oils should be offered to him. In the winter, you offer some heating oil. So the effect of the different oils have different effects. And in the summer, some cooling oil. So in this way, always thinking how to please him, that he is here and we can please him. It becomes exciting each day that we can see, oh, how has he been dressed today? We have to make new outfits for him. That instead of making our own wardrobe, I will have so many outfits. We think, how to make so many different outfits for the Lord, how to cook for him, how to please him, how to make festivals, nice festivals. Invite everyone, come to this festival and see how we're swinging the Lord, how he is being fed with so many items, this especially the anakut, so many items. Come, see how he's being fed so nicely. Take prasad. Invite everyone. Give some donation. In this way, everyone is engaged. Everyone is happy. Everyone is absorbed in Krishna. And then there's no material desires. It became easy, didn't it? When we're thinking, when we're hearing about it, if we're enlivened by the thought of serving Krishna, then at least for the time being, we forget our mortgage and our... You know, how are we going to pay the bills and what's on TV? You become absorbed in thinking how to serve Krishna very nicely. The Vaikuntha atmosphere, Vrindavan atmosphere. So this, Srila Prabhupada has given us this opportunity. And if we maintain that spirit, then we will find that mopping the floor for Krishna, it's not a chore, it's an ecstatic activity. Again at Nathdwara I saw that the darshan, everyone's pushing and shoving because only a small space. And to get in, it's like a football game getting in there. But everyone's in a happy mood, having darshan of the Lord. And they close it up and everyone's saying, open it up, we want more darshan. So they open up the curtains again. Then they close it again. Woo! Open up! So they open and close a few times, and then finally they close it, and then it's closed. Then you have to go. But as soon as it's closed, then you see people, they're sweeping the floor immediately. They want to do some service. Everyone's doing service. Carry the fire word. And they're calling, the people are calling, the pilgrims who come, they're saying, here, bring some fire word. Carry it for the Lord. So there's opportunity. Everyone should do some service. Everyone becomes blissful. And you'll see these brahmanas, you can see from their features, they're very high-class people, but they're blissful. They're carrying firewood for the Lord. They're not thinking that this is, I'm a big brahmana, why should I carry? And this is a shudra's work. They're very happy to carry for the pleasure of the Lord. Even, you see, great Acharya, Sri Ramanuja Acharya, he was carrying every day the pots of water, the heavy pots of water from the Kaveri, long distance, heavy. He wasn't thinking, I'm a big Acharya, why should I carry this? But very happy to serve the Lord. So it's great happiness. Why was Ambarish Maharaj cleaning the floor of the temple? Why was he doing that when he's a king? Why was he sweeping the floor? Because he found more pleasure in sweeping the floor of the temple than he did in having people. He can have dance performances and people praising him, but he found more pleasure in serving the Lord than in indulging in the delights of being a king. Whatever in the kingdom was there, he could enjoy, but he simply offered the kingdom and his very self to the service of the Lord. So we find in the Bhagavatam, the kings are described. Maharaj Prahlad, Maharaj Ambarish, Maharaj Yudhishthir, Maharaj Dhruva. But even though they're great kings, their greatness lies not in their being kings, but in their being fully dedicated servants of the Lord. So this is the lesson, that what is there in material enjoyment? This one devotee, Rasaraj Prabhu, who's also from Iyengar background, he told me once he visited in Bombay Sumati Muraji, who she was the owner of the Sindhya Navigation Company. And she sponsored Srila Prabhupada's journey on the Jaladuta to America. So one time, That was the Sindhya Navigation Company. It was the Sindhya Gaikwad Raja family. So it was a Raja family, king. So one time he visited, and one of these kings, so the king had several wives, and he visited his palace when he was taking lunch. And all the wives, they cooked for him, and they made an arrangement, and they set up his plate they brought different flowers, and they personally served him so many different preparations, serving him with silver utensils. And then someone was, strumming some vina in the background. And then Rasaraj Prabhu told me that, well, then I understood what it means to be served like a king. So Ambarish Maharaj, he could have been enjoying all that, and maybe he did also. But his real interest was how Krishna should be served like a king. He took great pleasure in that. So we have the same opportunity to clean the temple, to cook for Krishna, to sing for Krishna. And by doing that, then what happens? If we're absorbed in singing for Krishna, cooking for Krishna, cleaning for Krishna, dressing Krishna, then when we leave these bodies, we just go on doing the same thing. Except that instead of doing it in Denver, Colorado, in the extension of the spiritual world in Denver, Colorado, we go to the original spiritual world and do it there. It's the same thing. There's no difference. Srila Prabhupada said, for a devotee, death is like going to sleep, and you wake up and you're in the spiritual world. And you just carry on what you're doing, the same thing. In the Gaudiya Math, during the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, some thieves, they had offered some, they gave some milk, they brought some milk to offer, but they put some poison in it, some sleeping poison, so that all the devotees, they took that milk that was offered to the brother, they took the milk, and then they went, they were heavily drugged. So the idea was that they were going to steal from, it's a common ruse, that be careful when you go to India, don't take food from strangers on the train, because you may wake up later without any luggage. So, anyway, they were taken to the hospital, and the pujari, at the time for the arati, the pujari, in his, you know, in a like a coma-like state, his hand was moving like this. He was so used to doing that, that even in his unconscious condition, he was doing it. So that's very nice. If we do the same thing over and over again, we tend to dream of that, isn't it? If you do the same thing all day, then when you go to sleep at night, you may dream of that. So that is absorption. If we're worshipping the Lord and performing kirtan, then we may find in our sleep that we're performing kirtan. We meet the devotees, we talk with the devotees. That means our consciousness is becoming Krishna conscious. So becoming free from material desires seems very difficult, but if we become absorbed in this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness, then it comes automatically. That's the message which Prabhupada has given. So we just have to go on doing the same thing. It may seem stereotyped, but it's not stereotyped. If we're actually relishing hearing about Krishna, remembering Krishna, how wonderful is Krishna? What else shall I say? Hare Krishna. What else? Hare Krishna. Then Krishna Krishna. Anything else to say? Hare Hare. More? Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare. The whole spiritual world. The Maha Mantra opens up the whole spiritual world. Every time we chant, we have entrance to the spiritual world. If we just leave behind our material desires and surrender to Krishna, every bead we chant is precious. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments, protests? Anyone, any demons here want to protest against this process of bhakti?
There are demons, but I don't know. I'm a demon.
You are a demon? So chant Hare Krishna.
Yeah. But I have not a question, not even a comment, but I just want to solicit your input. I was always, again, my understanding can be wrong, but I was always with the opinion that Bhagavata Seva is superior to Bhagavata Seva. Serving the devotees of the Lord is superior to serving the Lord Himself. Is that correct?
Service to the devotees of the Lord is superior to serving the Lord Himself, if it's done in the proper consciousness. There are stories like that, that the one devotee was serving his guru and the Lord called him to Vaikuntha and he says, no, I have to serve my guru. I'll go later. Not now, I'm busy. Please call me later. Thank you very much, but I'll go later. On the other hand, there was one devotee who was all the time saying, Prabhupada, to me, you are more important than Krishna. And Prabhupada said, no, Krishna is the center. I can represent Krishna, and you should serve me, but as the representative of Krishna. But why do we serve the devotees of the Lord? Because sadhavo hridayo mahyam sadhunam hridayam tvaham madanyatena jananti nahang tebhyo managapi. Because the sadhus, the devotees, are in the heart of the Lord, and the Lord is the heart of the devotees. They don't know anything but Him, and He doesn't know anything else but them. So, because they are in relationship to Krishna, Krishna is the center. Because they are very dear to Krishna, we know that Krishna is pleased. More if mad bhakta puja vyadika. Lord Krishna, when describing the process of archan, of worship of Himself to Uddhava, He says that actually worship of my devotees is more important than worship of myself. So worship of the Lord Himself says that worship of the devotees is more important than worship of the Lord, but that doesn't mean we neglect the worship of the Lord. And it has to be understood that the worship of the devotees is so important because the Lord has said so. He is the center. Otherwise it may be that He is the center means the Lord is the center. Otherwise it may be that someone misuses that. And they, you know, Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu, Guru, what is it?
I know. Guru Deva Maheshwara.
Guru Deva Maheshwara. Guru Sakshat Param Brahma. Tasmai Sri Guru Vena. So someone will say, well, you don't need to worship anyone, just worship me. And that person becomes a demon. Guru and Bhagavad, his focus is on the Lord, but the Lord is not alone. He's with His devotees. And the Lord, the devotees, they give us Krishna. But it's not that we're going to go off in the spiritual world and have the center is the devotee, and he has a separate center from Krishna. And he just goes sometimes to worship Krishna. The center is Krishna. And we serve Krishna through the devotees. We cannot approach Krishna directly. We have to serve Him through the devotees. But the center is Krishna. And we'll hear about, just like we're hearing about Maharaj Ambarish. He's a great devotee. But he's centered on, by hearing about Maharaj Ambarish, then automatically we hear about Krishna. We worship Srila Prabhupada. We cannot think of Prabhupada without thinking of Krishna, because he is completely Krishna conscious. And at least for us, who have come to Krishna consciousness through Prabhupada, we can't think of Krishna without thinking of Prabhupada. The two are inseparable. But at the same time, we have to understand that Krishna is Prabhu, and Prabhupada, although he may accept worship, but he does so as a servitor. To offer that worship to the Supreme Lord. Yeah, that was...
Maharaj, you were talking about whenever you pass by the door in order to relish your service, but what if the devotees sometimes feel that in regulated service, even with hearing and chanting, we feel it's out of duty and not so much relish, even by hearing, so...
What about if we're doing it out of duty without relish? Well, duty is all right for a beginning, and duty is always there. That's always a factor. But that's not the... If it's only out of duty that, and we don't feel any pleasure in serving Krishna, then how long can we go on like that? It's a duty, but performing bhakti, bhakti is by nature joyful. So if we're taking it like some kind of duty, like in the army or something like that, then that's all right in the beginning, when we have some understanding. Yes, I have to serve, it's my duty to serve. But actually from the beginning, bhakti is joyful. If we're actually performing bhakti, then even if we're not, you know, constantly remembering the pastimes of the Lord, but the very nature of bhakti is joyful because the Lord is joyful. You take pleasure in giving books to people, isn't it? That's Lord Chaitanya's leela. That's an extension of his pastimes, assisting him in his pastimes of giving Krishna consciousness to others. But we should, it's not just a duty that we do, but we have to know Krishna is a person and we have an eternal relationship with him. Prabhupada, one of the first books he presented was Krishna book and the Nectar of Devotion, which is full of, you know, what is bhakti? It's a description of bhakti. So, to think about the pastimes of the Lord, that's not, doesn't mean we become a sahajya, that's required. Of course, we should do so in a manner appropriate to our advancement. But we should hear about the pastimes of the Lord and his devotees. It's very nice, isn't it, to hear about how Prabhupada established this movement, and so many great devotees. It's maybe easier for us to think of the. It may seem, Krishna's pastimes may seem very esoteric to us. We have the tornado demon. Maybe in Colorado you can relate to that more. You have tornadoes here, right? Every year? So you can just imagine Krishna being. How Mother Yashoda was so distressed when Krishna was carried away by the tornado. We can remember, if we cultivate it, we can see Krishna in everything. Just like in the heat, now it's hot, so tapami aham, Krishna says, I give the heat. Aham varsham nigrinami, there's no rain, that's Krishna also, he's withholding it. And when it comes, visrijamita, I give the rain. We see Prabhupada, he was always talking about Krishna. He often spoke about the degradation of modern society and our duty to preach Krishna consciousness. So we can see Krishna also in the lack of Krishna consciousness of others and how much people are suffering from lack of Krishna consciousness. That's easy to see, isn't it? That's relatively easy to see. How people are suffering for lack of Krishna consciousness. Now many books are being translated, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which helps us to remember Krishna. So many nice books. How can we help devotees who are overly critical of the shortcoming of other devotees? Well, we can tell them that Prabhupada, if someone were criticized, he would say, well, you show better. That was Prabhupada's response. He didn't necessarily... Well, one thing was, Prabhupada, he didn't like that those who are junior would criticize those who are senior. And he didn't like that people who are not doing anything criticize. If there are valid complaints, Prabhupada, he would take it up. But he didn't like people just complaining and not doing anything. You do something for Krishna. You do something better. That was Prabhupada's standard response. So you can tell them that. And yes, there are many problems in ISKCON, and we all know, and definitely it's not what we might have hoped it would be. But the process is still there. we can still take to it. In Vrindavan, about 1972, the temple construction was going on, and it was a construction site. It's not the most... Now it's a nice temple where people can come and engage in Krishna consciousness. At that time, it was difficult to get your sadhana together on a construction site. It wasn't a temple. It was a construction site. You know, where is it recommended in Shastra that, it recommends, you go to a temple. We don't find anywhere in it's recommended that you go to a construction site to do bhakti. But that was Prabhupada, he gave, you have to build this temple. So dealing with the workers and everyone's trying to cheat you, and it's very difficult for the devotees to keep their health in that difficult climate. And so one devotee was saying that, well, I want to leave, and all the devotees here, they're not very good, they're not on a very high level. And Prabhupada said, no, don't leave, stay, you have service to do. And if you think the devotees are not up to the proper level, then you show the example and bring them up. So yeah, there are many problems in ISKCON, and at the same time, it is a big international organization and it is growing, and the philosophy is still perfect, the process is still perfect, and the temples, they could be doing better, but they're going on, and that going on means that there's a base there which can be expanded on. So let's try and do something better. Simply mumbling and groaning won't help us very much. And often we see that devotees who only complain, they lose their taste in the end for Krishna consciousness. So, you can come and join the kirtan and chant and dance. No one's going to tell you not to. If someone tells you not to, then we've really got problems. But I don't think that it came to that yet. So the chanting and dancing is there. If you want to distribute Prabhupada's books, you can do. If you want to take prasadam, you can. If you want to sponsor prasadam, you can do. So things may not be as we think they should be, but then we have to do the best we can. Don't expect everyone's going to be a super maha bhagavat paramahamsa. It's Kali Yuga and we're trying to serve Krishna, so let's do the best we can. That's one approach. That's a suggestion. But this, but that, but everything else. We can always but this and but. We can say, but we can also serve Krishna. Yeah, please.
You were talking about becoming mechanical. So how can one
maintain our spirit of enthusiasm? Well, remember why we're doing what we're doing. You're enthusiastic, aren't you? To steadily do the same service day after day, that means there's sustained enthusiasm. Enthusiasm doesn't necessarily mean jumping up in the air, making a big sound, and that may be enthusiasm in the mode of passion, but enthusiasm in the mode of goodness is sustained enthusiasm. To day after day, year after year, serve the Lord, that is enthusiasm in the mode of goodness. So remember why we're doing what we're doing. Why are you doing what you're doing? What are you doing, by the way?
Deity worship.
Deity worship. Specifically, what's that you're doing there? Specifically, what are you doing there? You're making some outfit?
I was preparing, something for you.
So why are you doing that?
To make him comfortable.
So that's very nice, isn't it? That's your enthusiasm. He's supremely comfortable, but we should try anyway to make him more comfortable. We should never be satisfied with our service. The deities already, how many dresses do the deities have here? Day and night together? Over 100. And how many dresses do the devotees have? Probably like 3 or 4. Maybe because you have hot and cold seasons and you need more. But the idea, you see, we dress like this. It's the same practically every day. But for Krishna, so many dresses. Maybe you can inspire people who are coming also. You want to make a new dress. You want to donate? We're making a new dress, but if you give some more donation, then we can make it better. Try it in this way, we can always expand our service. There's always more to do. Had a good Sunday feast yesterday. Nice program. I saw in Detroit they served a really, looked really good. I mean, I don't, you know, I was saying I was enthusiastic about prasadam in my youth. Well, the physical effect of that is that my feasting days are over. But it looked like a really good feast, and they told they always have that. So they're always in, they always get someone to sponsor. Really good feast. So people are coming. Hey, you want to sponsor? It's your daughter's birthday. It was someone's daughter's birthday yesterday. So that's the thing to do on a on someone's birthday. They should distribute prasad. So we can enthuse people like that. Get the blessings of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. So like this, we can try to enthuse others to serve Krishna. Now I'm just saying, the December marathon, we can enthuse, we want to distribute so many books. Can you sponsor some Bhagavad Gitas? Contribute 100 Bhagavad Gitas, we'll distribute. So like this, we're always trying to expand. Anandam buddhi vardhanam. Increase the ocean of bliss. If we don't try to increase it, then it tends to dry up. What do you say, Gaurasundara Prabhu? You've been motivating people to donate for Krishna's service for many years. So how do we have to enthuse them? Do some service for Krishna. You'll be happy. And actually it's true. People become happy. If you serve Krishna, you'll become happy. You can tell them that also, those who are critical. That, all right, this isn't right, that isn't right, but why don't you do some service? You'll become happy.
How can we help those who really like to chant and who maybe even serve deities in their home but are still very much attached to certain sinful activities like attachment?
To what, sorry?
Who are still, people who want to be devotees, who are devotees, but are attached to, let's say, intoxication and other things.
How can we help people who are devotionally inclined but are also attached to intoxication? Can be a tough one if they're really strongly attached. But at least encourage them on the positive side to come to the temple more and more. That's all. And do more and more service. And, you know, if they're smart, they'll give it up. If they're not, well, still they'll be benefited from doing some service. You can tell them, at least as much as you spend on intoxication, you should spend for Krishna. Every cigarette you smoke, you should chant one round of japa also. And if you decrease your cigarettes, you should increase your rounds. I don't know, I'm just thinking of some things you can say. You can only smoke a cigarette if you chant one round before. Suggestions. Prabhupada said that if the wine drinker, if he thinks that the taste of this wine is Krishna, then someday he'll become a great devotee. He didn't recommend that we that we drink wine, but if you are addicted, you can think that this taste is Krishna. I remember when I first heard that, I thought, wow, that's really radical. So, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to the spiritual world manifested in Denver, Colorado. All glories to the devotees who are serving the Lord.